welcome to episode 26 of
Brutal Battle.
We must twist what is long and hard with our sensitive hands.
For anyone who does not get the reference, please go see the movie Your Highness with Danny McBride and James Franco.
Yeah.
You will understand it is the wise wizard. That is who we're referencing on that.
My wand is growing.
Playful secrets. So,
oh my God.
Yes, everyone nerd out and go check that out. But anyway, I am beer excitable right now. I'm gonna go ahead and coin that kind of phrase.
If you think he's excited, usually now he's really excited about beer.
I am beer excitable, and I will tell you why. I think it was a week ago that I last had beer, and it was one beer. So I'm kind of like,
wow.
Yeah, I'm like jonesing to taste some wonderful beer right now.
Oh, beer!
I just want beer. I want good beer. And, you know, once again, coming straight from work, and, you know, it's a good way to relax.
Funny thing is, I played my first edition D&D group Saturday night, and we had, like, a grill-out thing, and they actually opened up the no-alcohol policy, and we actually drank while we played D&D Saturday night, so that was the last time I had beers.
So they usually have a no-alcohol policy, why is that?
Yeah, I don't know, they just feel like it doesn't really add anything. If anything, it might detract. But even so, it was just me and the DM drinking. No one else really had beer anyway.
Oh,
so
okay.
It didn't really matter. They're all...
It's not a big deal.
They're normal people, not alcoholics like us.
I would like to point out, I have crackers this time around for the podcast.
Delicious saltine crackers.
Saltines for palate cleansing.
Yes, not oyster crackers, as would be the norm, but saltines.
Saltines without salt.
Without salt.
So very.
That's going to be about as interesting as lead paint.
Well, hopefully it doesn't have the same effects as lead paint.
Exactly.
So
that would be bad.
That's what we're going to get into, but I want to go ahead and let you take the floor, Kyle, right off the bat. You went to Chicago recently for a bachelor party.
I don't want the floor. You're all excited. I'm not.
Well, okay, do you want me to go first then?
No. Well,
because I have something to talk about too.
No, but I can talk.
Right. Do it.
Should I talk about the whole... I'm going to split it up into parts because I have a lot of talk to talk about. So, yes, I went to Chicago, and it was Turner, who has guest starred with us a couple times. It's a bachelor party. We went to Chicago, Illinois, because he has friends up there. Some of his friends went to college up there, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I didn't know anyone but Turner. It was eight of us total, and it was just dudes on dudes with dudes and sausages and man and stinky and burping and farting and all the good stuff. No, it was okay. We had a good time, actually. It's some of the Brewkeep guys. Actually there.
So that's what it's called. Brewkeep. That's right. We couldn't remember the other episode.
Yeah, the founders. They actually did a bunch of tastings while we were there, like during downtime and stuff.
Really?
It was actually pretty interesting. Yeah, the guy has his whole... They have like a code for all the notes and stuff. The guy had his own little notepad, and they were taking notes and sniffing and smelling. And you think we are intense? Those guys are like hardcore about it.
Oh, I never thought we were intense.
Well, we talk... Okay, if we smell and sniff beer, you're intense, okay?
Okay,
normal
gotcha.
People just
then
drink
we are.
It.
We were very intense.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Which, by the way, I will say, side note, I always hate it when I go to any sort of function and I only know the person throwing the function.
Yes.
Because what are you going to do? Because that person's going to need to go around and interact with
everyone.
I want to
tell a little story. So. Just a little, it's not about beer, but, okay, so, like I said, there was one local, two of us flew, you know, separately, I didn't know the other guy, and then the rest of them drove overnight. They did an all-night car ride from Maryland to Chicago, boom, boom. So when I got in, my flight got in super early. So I show up at this place. We rented out a friend's place for the weekend or whatever. And I get there at like 8:30 in the morning. All these guys are passed out on the floor on these air mattresses. And I knock on the door. And I don't know anybody. And they're all like waking up groggily like, hey, man, what's up? And I'm just like, this is the most awkward shit I've ever been in. I just didn't know. I looked across the room and didn't see a single person I knew. And finally... You know, Turner was back in the corner, so I pretty much beelined it back to Turner and hung out with him. But yeah, that was kind of awkward, I'll have to say. That was kind of weird. But anyway, so he actually couldn't sleep, so the first thing I did is got his ass up out of bed, and we walked around until Map Room opened up, and then we went to Map Room. So the first beer I want to talk about is a beer I had at Map Room. Map Room is one of my favorite beer bars in the country. Obviously, I haven't been to 99% of them, but of the ones I have been to, I love Map Room. It's so cool. It feels like you're in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. There's maps everywhere and old National Geographics, and just, it's such a cool place.
So it's called Map Room for an actual reason.
Yeah, the Map Room, yeah. It's just like I got a whole map explorer, you know. Very cool. Got flags and everything. Yeah, it's really neat.
Nice.
But their beer list is amazing. There were so many I wanted to try, but I had my eyes on Three Floyds Arctic Panzerwolf. It is a double IPA, and it was fantastic. It was excellent. So, yeah, high marks for that. It was very, very good. It reminded me of 90 Minute, and you know how much I like that. So I was very excited.
And that's one of our frustrations here, because we can't get Three Floyds in Maryland.
We can't get Flounders, Three Floyds, Great Lakes. That's why I was trying to stock up on that stuff while I was there. And then the second beer I had to have, which is like a tradition when I go to Chicago, is Great Lakes Edmund Fitzgerald, probably my favorite porter on the market. It is wonderful. So I had a pint of that, and it was everything it could be and more. I actually got a sixer of it, and I only drank half of it, and I think the guys took it home when they drove, so I might get it at his wedding, which is next Friday, so I might have some more Three Floyd.
Oh, man,
I should get some for this.
Yeah, totally. Bring it. I'd love it. I would love to try it.
I don't know if we had any breakfast stout left over, because that was like liquid gold. You know, it was treasured and cherished.
I am still holding some bottles here.
Oh, you are?
Yes, so maybe one episode I can just pop some out.
It was
just to share.
Such a magical thing. I think, and I know we've talked about this before, but the thing that gets me with that beer is the green coffee. Like, so many beers do the roasted coffee, and it's fine, it's delicious and everything, but the green coffee, that vegetal bite, that green, bitter, sharp, oh, it's so different and so unique, and it's so addicting.
I agree. It's fantastic. Extremely tasty.
It's a great, great stout. But those are the beers I had, you know, as the week began. Obviously, we drank a whole lot more than that. Like I said, we got a sixer of, we got a four-pack of breakfast stout, a sixer of Edmund Fitzgerald. We had a couple other beers that, you know, we were drinking so much in so many different environments. We must have gone to about 25 different freaking bars, it felt like. We were just in and out of every bar. But one more thing I'm going to talk about, and then we can save a little bit of Chicago for next episode, is we went into this one place, and we didn't actually drink there, but the concept was awesome. It's called Fat Pour. Have you ever heard of this place?
No, not at all.
When you walk in, and when we walked in, this was one of the last places we went to, so it was pretty packed. So the first floor we didn't really go to, we just went right up the stairs, which are basically right inside the door. And the walls are all plexiglass, and there's kegs all tapped. All the walls are just kegs tapped. And it's lit up by these blue LEDs, and it's all glowing. And you go up, and there's this huge booth, and we all sat around it, and there's two taps in the middle of the booth with a number keypad.
I've heard about this
a place like that?
Type of technology.
So cool. So, unfortunately, we sat around and sat around, tried to flag anybody down. We didn't get any waitress, but the concept behind it is you're given pint glasses, you type in what you want, you're charged per ounce or whatever, you know what I mean? So you drink as much as you want, and then it just records how much beer you pour and which beer and charges you accordingly. So it
comes through tap, like, actually at your seat.
Yes, at your table.
Yes, I've heard about these before.
It's the ultimate lazy man's bar.
So you, like, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, the way it works is that you basically, like, prepay for a certain amount of ounces of the beer, and you tell them what number, and then...
That's weird.
That's all that'll come out, basically.
See, I wish it were just, like, it was smart, you know what I mean? You pour 4 ounces of this, it charges you X... dollars per ounce or something.
Well,
like
I mean,
that.
You
that
used
cool.
it. Is that how
no?
It
like
works,
I said,
so
we didn't.
Oh, you did.
We didn't get served, and after a while, we just got frustrated.
Okay. Well, that.
But the
sucks.
Place looked cool. You know, it was like a neat concept, and I wish we could have drank there. But
yeah. But from what I had read about that type of technology, you like prepay for a certain amount of ounces, and then that's all you can get out of the tap.
Oh, okay.
But if you pour originally and you don't pour the full amount of ounces, it'll still stay, you know, cold in the keg. And then you can pour it again, and it'll stop when you reached how much you prepaid for.
That's cool. Which
is really cool. I mean, it's very similar, though, to, like, are you familiar with enematics, which are for wine? So there are a few wine bars. I'm not sure if there are any around here, but I went to one in Sarasota, Florida, that it's basically, like, they put these wine bottles in this machine. And it's all lined up. I think it fits, like, 8 in each machine or something like that, and... what you do is you can then see, like, the number for each bottle, and then it'll tell you what the price, like, per ounce is. And then you can go over to the keypad, basically, put in the number of which wine you want, and then how many ounces you want. and then you basically press go. You put in, like, a card that you prepay to put money onto, and you put in the card, and it'll deduct the money from it. And same, then you press it, and it'll pour out, you know, however much wine into your glass from whatever type of wine you wanted. So it's kind of like that. That place sounds so cool. I'm so bummed that you didn't get to actually experience it. And
apparently it's the new thing. The nightlife we had, the local guy, Zach, he led us around. So he said this place was new. It had only been open 6 or 3 months or whatever. So that's probably why it was hopping and all that. Because some of the bars we went into were slow. Some of them were busy. Some of them were like dives. Some of them were happening, like clubby. And we just went to so many places. Another thing was Bedford. And Bedford was very misleading by the reputation I thought it had. Because it has this, like, it's in this old bank vault and all that. And there's this big bank vault door. And it's like a speakeasy type thing. We went in there and it was a club, freaking whatever. It was so not interesting.
Not cool.
So generically, it was just like, okay, this place is about as cool as, you know, whatever. Secrets. it was lame, so.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, most of the bars we went to were okay. I mean, that was the one that really stood out to me. We went out bar hopping 2 nights in a row, and because we, you know, we had concrete plans for other things, but the nightlife, we just kind of went by the seat of our pants. Plus, obviously, Saturday night was devoted to the strip club.
Yes, the obligatory strip club bachelor visit.
The one we went to was called, like, Pink Monkey, I think. Which was actually, it looked weird when we went in, but when we got into the place, it was actually very classy, very well done.
Oh, good.
And the strippers were all very, very attractive. I mean, there weren't any I was just like, eh. But, you know, sometimes you go to a strip club, it's like 50-50 maybe. This place had some.
It wasn't like that place. There's a strip club called, like, Deja Vu, and their whole shtick is like, they say something like, 47 hot chicks and 3 ugly ones. Like, that's like their whole slogan. I don't think I'm exactly right on the numbers, but, you know.
There were a lot of strippers at this place, too. And the weird thing was, like, there was a big main stage and then the little back one. And then a lot of the strippers were just kind of standing around, just looking hot. And I just kept turning around. Like, there were like 20 strippers standing there behind me. I was like, okay.
But here's the question. Did they serve microbrews at the strip club?
It was actually a BYOB strip club.
Oh, so in a sense, yes. You serve yourself a nice microbrew.
We got, and this was another funny story. We went to they sell liquor in the shopping or grocery store. So I just waited outside. One guy got pink lemonade flavored vodka to take to a strip club. I was like, what the hell is this? So I didn't touch that. Luckily, one guy got Di Serrano, which I just had on the rocks, and that was fine because it was kind of like a dessert drink anyway because we had just had dinner. So I had Di Serrano, it was fine, but I forget what the other guy got, but I was like, pink lemonade vodka, really, for a bachelor party going to a strip club?
Yeah.
They're going to think we're a bunch of, you know, limp wrists.
I had a similar experience getting something weird like that. It was like the Pinnacle, like, Swedish fish flavored vodka, which smells just like Swedish fish, but tastes like crap.
Yes. Oh, like it's corn disgusting. Syrup or something?
Yeah, kind of like that, like a little bit cherry-y corn syrup, but pretty gross. One thing I wanted you to potentially talk about, I don't know if you want to save it for the next episode or talk about it on this one, but you had texted me a picture when you were out there.
Oh, yeah. I want to save that for the next one.
Okay. Well, that'll be
to be continued.
Don't worry. It was nothing really crazy. It was a picture of
my
alcoholic...
Oh.
It was not. It was a picture of an alcoholic beverage that he will talk about next episode. Don't let me forget.
His nickname for my penis is alcoholic beverage. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was a beer. We'll talk about it next episode.
But, just don't let me forget on that one.
We'll, I have some more to talk about. I didn't cover every beer I had. So, yeah, I want to talk.
Well, that's good. And I, just so everyone knows, not only do I have the crackers, but once again, we have our beer flavor wheels in front of us to help out with
beer
the situation.
Flavor wheel.
Indeed. Beer flavor wheel.
Beer flavor wheel.
So, actually, is there anything else you wanted to touch on for Chicago right now, or you want to leave all the rest of it?
Yeah, I don't have too much juice. I kind of went on a tangent there, but yeah, we'll save it.
Okay, that's cool. Then I have something that I want to talk about real quick.
Okay.
For my birthday, I know a few episodes ago I had said that I was probably going to be going to Weyerbacher, and I was going to go to Weyerbacher in Pennsylvania as well as Iron Hill in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
well,
God.
We had some car troubles the day before and decided that we didn't want to go too far. Plus, I just didn't feel like spending a whole lot of time in the car, and we would have had to make that trip. So I decided to divert our trip and have us go into Baltimore instead, and we hit up two different places. First place we went to was the Heavy Seas Ale House, which I'm actually wearing my Heavy Seas t-shirt I got from it right now.
Usually I'm wearing the beer shirt, and you're not. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing my music shirt.
So, also, kudos to Heavy Seas for incorporating their shirts into the Baltimore culture, because it's a black shirt with orange on it, so it is Orioles colors.
Yes. Does it have, like, a number on the back or anything?
No. It's just got the big logo for the Heavy Seas Ale House. But it's cool. It's a cool shirt.
Thanks for getting me one. I appreciate
that. Yeah, no problem. I didn't even think twice.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
So we go there, and first of all, I will say we had like one little snacky item. We had a sausage slider, which was very good, very tasty. And we had some beers. I actually just got a taster first of their Riptide.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of that? That's their white IPA. I mean, in essence, it's like their version of a Belgian IPA.
Belgian? Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, I like Belgian IPAs.
It wasn't bad. It was okay. But I wanted to try something different. So, I just kind of had like a little taster of that. I was like, okay, let me do something else.
Do they have a sampler? Like a sampler?
No.
They don't have a sampler?
No.
Wow.
Not, no. Bums. So, I had to get a pint of something. So, I got a pint of what they had cask-aged, oak barrel-aged, which was their Loose Cannon. Which is like their, they call it their hop three ale.
Yes.
Like triple hop ale.
Yep.
So, usually a big fan of that. I started drinking it and I realized what a terrible mistake it was. Not only for me to order that beer, but for them to make that beer like that.
In a cask, yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. And I should have thought of that ahead of time. I should have thought, Loose Cannon in an oak barrel. All the hops were like gone.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It makes it like creamy, it subdues the hops, and I didn't think about that. And then I'm drinking this and I'm like, it's like a very weak Loose Cannon.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It's not something.
I'm not crazy about cask, usually.
Well, I am when
it's
applied.
The natural carbonation is never strong enough, and
it
just.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it always tastes flat and like watery, and
I feel like when it's applied to the proper type of beer, you know, like barley wines that are oak barrel aged are always really good. You know, you can get some double IPAs like Heavy Seas Big Dipper that was
oak
barrel aged.
Okay, there's two things. Oak barrel aged and cask conditioned.
Okay.
Which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about oak barrel
basically. Because cask conditioned is what I was talking about.
Okay, well, why don't you explain the difference to our listeners?
Cask conditioned uses the carbonation is formed from the natural, not yeast, but the natural things in the barrel, or, obviously I'm explaining this very well.
You mean it's like the sour style?
Yeah.
Basically. It's kind of like whatever's in the environment is what's going to ferment.
Yes, there you go.
Right. The natural bacteria.
That's what I mean. We obviously know so much about beer.
I know. Sorry for confusing the cask and oak barrel age. Yes, I was referring to
oak barrel aging. Yeah.
And that's what happened with it. It just didn't play out well. But then after that, we went to Of Love and Regret, which I had talked about before, and we had a lot of really good beers.
What brewery makes their beers again?
Stillwater Artisanal
Ales.
That's
what I thought. Okay.
And I had the rest of the beers that we hadn't tried before. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now that I like, but I like all of them to some degree or another.
They've
bought some
highly touted, and I have yet to be blown away.
Well. Maybe next episode we can try one.
They do a lot of collab beers, too, like collaboration
beers.
Yes,
they
do.
Like I said about the Perfect Crime one with Stone and Evil Twin.
Yeah.
They do some collabs, but that's mainly because the Brewer's Nomadic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
So, but I had a really, really good conversation with one of the bartenders about beer in general, and just kind of asked him about how the guy who owns Stillwater and is also the brewmaster, like how he... how things are with, like, doing sours, because, you know, a lot of breweries feel that they don't want sours done with their equipment, because... Well, yeah, because if you get, like, a wild yeast... I was going to say a wild yeast infection. if you get wild yeast and you can't get it out of your equipment, which sometimes happens, that's a problem. All the beer will taste the same. Beer, it screws it all up. So he was just basically saying that it's a mixture. Like, there are some breweries that he'll talk to and he'll be like, I was thinking about wanting to do, like, a wild ale. And they're like, absolutely not. You're not doing that in our, you know, brewery. But then there are others that are like, oh, yeah, have at it, whatever. And then he told me, and I didn't know this, what's it called? Cascade Brewing out in Oregon. They apparently used to do, they used to not do any sours, any wild ales. And then they started doing it and realized that they were having a hard time cleaning all of that stuff out. So then they switched over to just doing wilds. So I guess that's one way to deal with it.
Yeah, just like, screw it. That's all we're doing.
But it was really cool because, you know, we were having a really good, like, intense beer conversation. And you don't get that everywhere that you go restaurant-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're very, you know, knowledgeable, very engaged. And I said, you know a hell of a lot about beer. And his response to it was simply this, just a fan, man. Just a fan. And I was like, yeah, me too. So it was cool. I mean, that's a really chill place.
People are knowledgeable. So you gave him our podcast?
Yes, actually, they know about the podcast. I told them they're going to be, you know, mentioned on here. I don't know if they're going to listen to it or not, but...
We're stupid, and we like beer, and we're nerds, so, you know, give us money or something like that. No, I don't
so, think. Basically, the last thing I want to say about it is, if anyone ever goes to Of Love and Regret, the crispy pork tacos with jicama slaw, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think about them all the time.
That's funny.
So good. That being said, that wraps that up. There's beers sitting in front of us.
Beers.
Currently. We must drink these beers.
Which are...
which are right in front of us with our mouths.
With our sensitive mouths.
And feel free that while we're doing this to dip into the crackers, have some water, you know, cleanse properly.
I don't want your crackers, cracker.
Okay, so... Jumping into A immediately, what is that coloration on A there? It's very goldish.
Yes, it's very orange-ish gold. Yeah, gold. Transparent.
Very transparent.
No haziness that I'm seeing.
I haven't even sniffed it yet, but when Rebecca...
Oh, I haven't sniffed it, no. Nope.
When Rebecca set it down, I think I got a pretty strong whiff of hops.
I think it's an IPA, just from looking at it.
Let's sniff it and... Yep, there's hops.
Yeah, there's hops. There's not as much as I was expecting, though.
It's not like the insane citrusy hops. It's more of like a... Well, there are some hops that give you, like, kind of strong hops, but it's not so much of, like, the actual, like, inside of the fruit. It's kind of, like, more rind-ish. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, orangey citrus hops. It's, like, orange rind citrus hops.
Sure.
I'm just trying to get at a little more subdued.
Yes, subdued, I see that.
I mean, it's definitely there, and you can definitely identify it as citrusy hops. It's just
I get orange. I actually do get orange. Mm-hmm.
It smells good.
Yeah, it does smell good. It's not bad.
It's pleasing to my nostrils.
I get a little bit of... I don't know. Let me see here.
I'm really just getting the hops at the moment.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick out some other little nuances, but it's kind of tough.
Also, my allergies have been screwing with me.
I might say this one's almost a little muddled. Maybe a little honey?
Yeah. A tad bit of that. Try and really swirl it and see what I get.
Yeah, I don't know. Not really getting too much. Maybe like some sort of synthetic fruit kind of smell. Like maybe like a freshly opened box of Apple Jacks or something like that.
Apple Jacks? No way.
Well, I'm just thinking like, there's like a sugary sweetness. It almost is like a confectioner sugar kind of thing going on. Maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I'm just getting hops on this.
Yeah,
so
I'm not.
I am inclined to taste.
Yeah, we fail at the scent. And you're drinking already, and I'm still talking.
Limp finish. Actually,
yeah, but no. I don't know. It's not bad.
It's got,
Yeah, it does finish on the weak side.
Initial flavor is a more on the bitter side hoppiness. Yes. And then in the middle, the flavor is, it gives you a little bit of that kind of citrusy hoppiness. And then the end is just kind of like, just total bitterness again in it. The mouthfeel is a little on the watery side.
I disagree with some points. I think the mouthful is fairly creamy, actually.
Really? I mean, mm-hmm. I just get like this, it's on my tongue. I get like on my tongue, it just kind of like falls off.
I see that. Like, it doesn't linger, but we've talked about this before, how that can be viewed as a positive or negative, right, depending on what you're looking for.
To leave you kind of neutral.
Yeah. I actually kind of like this. It's not bad.
This could be one of those fractional IPAs. Hmm. You know, like, it's got decent hop presence, but it's, you know, 4.4% alcohol, and it's sessionable. And
there's just a touch, of like a mouth-coating syrup feel to it, which I like.
I agree.
You know, I feel like if there's too much of that, you can get into the negative side, but with a little bit, I think it's not bad.
You know, now that I've been drinking a little bit more, I'm getting a little bit, it's kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of leaving me with, how am I trying to do this? Describe it as, it's kind of leaving me with the kind of refreshing feeling that you have in your palate after you have had some sort of citrus. But it's not, like, extremely heavy in the citrus flavor.
I get a little bit of, like, toast on it, too. Near the middle to the end, a little bit.
Yeah, I could see a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this isn't a bad beer.
I like A. This is the best one we've tasted in a long time.
My original assessment of this was not very favorable.
I'm actually running out of it, so I better
stop
drinking.
I know, me too, actually. And this has got to be some sort of, like, quote, sessionable beer, because we are just,
we're downing it.
Yeah, really.
And there's no, like, usually if I haven't, because, you know, I ate when I got home and all that, but usually when we record our first episode, if I take a lot of the first beer, I usually kind of get, like, a little,
yeah, yeah.
No, I don't get that at all. So I think the alcohol is probably kind of low. Maybe, I'd say max 6.5, but that's probably even too high.
I would honestly not be surprised if it's something like Duclos Oz, which is that fractional IPA, or something like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
But
I like,
yeah,
A.
You know? Not bad.
I'm very curious.
Would you like a cracker?
I said, screw you and your cracker.
Well,
cracker.
I'm doing the cracker. Ah. Yeah.
Are you crunching in the mic? God, you're a dork.
Oh, yeah.
These are unsalted, my ass. There's salt all over these things.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, Rebecca said there wasn't any salt. I was just trusting her.
If you lie. Do they make unsalted saltines? Isn't that kind of the
point? No, I think they make unsalted. Well, I mean, the name would say they don't, but...
They're just called Eanes.
Eanes. here is B. B's coloration. Rebecca was actually like...
I'm like... That is the copperiest colored beer I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's coppery, but when you hold it up to the light, it's almost got like a rose tinge
mm-hmm.
to it.
That's what I'm saying, copper. And like, if you get a ring and copper, rose gold, that kind of like,
oh,
they're
yeah,
very,
yeah,
very similar.
Okay, yeah. This is definitely one of the weirdest colorations I've ever seen on a beer.
Yeah, that is odd. It almost looks like someone took a Pilsner and put maraschino cherry juice in it or something.
It makes me believe there's going to be some sort of like funky ingredient in it, like plum juice or you know, like something like that, or raspberries, or
honestly, it makes me think it might be a rye.
Really?
So, rye is usually, I've noticed they're like, they get this like either the brown, they're usually red or like an off red. So I mean, I might just be throwing darts here, but yeah, maybe. But you might be right about the, holy mother, what is this?
Oh, you smelled it?
I smelled it. What in the hell?
What is that smell?
Oh my god.
It smells like butt.
Yeah.
Like,
what in the
that
hell?
That does not smell good. Could this be
I'm
a
really
sour, potentially?
I'm really
sort?
Trying to place that smell. God. That well, smells like, yeah, it I'm makes gonna, me think of,
Swirling. It's...
Oh, man. Makes me think of like when you work when you walk by a salon in the mall and someone's getting a perm.
Yes, No. You're totally right on that. That's not absurd. It does have that smell.
That stinky perm smell.
When was the last time you knew someone who got a perm?
Oh wow, I'm just in the mall. It would happen all the time. You'd walk by and be like, "Oh God."
That is that kind of smell.
Yeah. Maybe that's why she smirked at you when she put this down, because she knew it was going to be this terrible funk, weird.
Something weird. It's definitely...
God, I can't get that out of my head now.
It's got... I'm sorry, but it's got, on the end, this kind of hint of, like, wet dog. It's got this little wet dogish scent.
Okay, just to be nice, there is something else I got that was pretty intriguing.
Okay, what is this?
It's just a tiny bit of, like, Worcestershire sauce in the nose.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, it's very fruity to me.
Fruity,
I mean, there is... There are discernible hops in it, to me.
Yeah.
But there's also that...
I just get a tiny bit of, like, it's either soy sauce, which is something, like, salty, something, like, a little bit of savoriness coming through the nose that's really not meshing well with any of the other things we're picking up on. It's really odd.
What the hell is giving it that...
Perm smell?
I feel... You smell a little, maybe, potentially, like, lychee fruit?
I don't know what lychee smells like, but now that you're... but now that we're on that kick, maybe some, like... elderflower, some sort of floral notes going on.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Which would fit with the rose coloration.
Yeah, I don't know what lychee smells like.
Alright. I think we made our best attempt at identifying these
I'm so these terrified
smells.
As to what this is. Alright.
Well, let's pop in.
Enjoy. Oh, God.
That is confusing.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
What is the finish?
Oh, the finish is horrible. Oh, my God. It's like if you went up into your attic and licked the floor. It's got this, like, dusty, musty finish.
I don't think... I'm not reacting as badly to it as you
are. Oh, man, that finish is horrible.
The first sip I took, the finish was a little bit off-putting. But now that I've had a few more sips, it's not that bad.
What beer are you drinking? Because this tastes like shit. Like, the finish honestly reminds me of, like, you go to clean out your storage, and there's a, you know, a cardboard box in the back corner you haven't moved in 6 years. And you go to move it, and there's, like, that wet, damp kind of smell.
Right.
That's how this finish is. It's got that musty, moldy kind of...
Yes, there is some very weird stuff going on with it. It almost leads me to question whether it has, like, I don't know, like some sort of grapes with botrytis in it.
Yes, okay, yeah. I was just thinking grape. Like, some sort of, yeah.
Because it has, like, a little bit of, like, the Swedish tinge that, like, the grapes do, but it also has, like, that, like you're saying, like, that mustiness that botrytis does, which I believe botrytis is, like, a type of mildew that grows on grapes. So, I don't know.
It's funny, because as soon as you said that, as I was thinking it, that was interesting. Yeah.
We are one.
Because we went to, like, when we were in... wine country in San Francisco in Napa Valley and stuff, we went, and that smell is very prevalent depending on which vineyard you go to, and you can kind of get in some of their old, like, underground. We went to Schramsberg. I don't remember.
Schramsberg does
Is it Schramsberg?
Sparkling whites.
Sparkling white, yeah.
Some people
place.
Might say are champagnes, but that's
right there, yeah.
Not technically correct.
Sparkling white wine. Yeah, I mean, we went there. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely...
Either way,
it kind of has those characteristics. It has very fine carbonation in it as well. It's not terrible. I mean, both these beers, honestly, I'm not...
B clangs, like, almost like no other beer we've had on this podcast for me.
Really? At
least, yes.
It
clangs
hard. It's
hard.
Leaving me... B's leaving me kind of neutral, honestly. Ugh. Which isn't, like, the worst. I'm going to go back to A, though, real quick. That's, like, boost flavors in A.
If B is an attempt at a sour, whoever brewed this, never brew another sour again.
It might very well be some sort of sour. And
I think it is.
I'm going to be honest. I think it might be New Belgium. And it could potentially be, like, I said I smelled some lychee. I'm not sure I really
New
tasted.
Belgium, give up.
But, like, there is, like, a lychee sour that New Belgium does, I believe.
Wow, it would be funny if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how much better it makes A taste.
I don't know. Going between the two, I'm not seeing too...
It makes A taste better to me.
A little bit. It boosts the flavor of A a little, but...
Now I get, like, some weird, crazy, out-of-left-field beef jerky nose on A. Like, B just messed me all up.
All right, well, I'm actually preferring B at the moment. When I'm going between them for some
reason. Okay, let me go back to B, because I finished my A. So if A is
session... Don't, you know, don't let my opinions
sway I'm just,
you at all.
I shouldn't go back to B.
It is what it is. I just gotta figure out... These are so kind of unconventional and confusing to me that I'm kind of struggling with numbers.
Well, I have a number for B. A big, fat, juicy one is B for me.
B? You're giving a one?
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. That is I did not enjoy a single characteristic about B.
You know, there's something I'm kind of into about it, and I feel like I want to go with 3. I'm going to go 3 on that one. So B, we're going to give a 2 overall.
Okay.
And A, what do you want to give A?
I'm struggling between 4 and 5, because I'm feeling generous. I'll say 5.
I'm going a 4 on that.
I was going to do 4, but I liked it, so I think 5, it deserves a 5.
So A would be the better beer for this episode with a 4.5, and B, with a 2, you know, not the best.
Vastly different in opinion.
Very different. So,
give B? You give B a 5?
A 3. B a 3. So not like the worst, but not like amazing. Yeah. So I gave the slight edge to A. A was a little bit better. Yes. So let's get into it. Let's see what's what. I will reveal B with an overall of 2. B is... Oh, it's a dogfish head.
Of course it's a dogfish head.
It is their... Dogfish Head 61, the continually hopped IPA brewed with Syrah grape must.
Wow.
Go us. I'm going to bones it on that.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Grape must. You nailed that one, didn't you?
100% on. That's what Botrytis is. It's grape must. Well, grape must. No, well, the grape must is actually all the stuff that shed it off of, like, the actual, like, skins and
really?
The stems.
That's what they call must?
Yeah, that's the must. That's what comes off, like, when they're actually pressing the grapes to get the juice out. It's, you know, all the stuff that comes off.
Hideous label, too.
Oh, yeah,
terrible.
It's like,
looks like shorts I had in 1991.
It's got, like, this weird greenish and, a burgundy red and, like, a Syrah purplish brown.
Yeah,
it's,
like I said, looks like those zany zigzag shorts. Or like the intro music to Saved by the Bell. Like all those crazy zigzags.
It's alright, because it's Dogfish Head. It's alright. Alright, so that leads us...
Of course it's Dogfish Head. They would make some weird crap that tastes like shit. They do that a lot. Half their beers taste like shit.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was terrible.
Taste it now, knowing what it is, and tell me...
It won't change my opinion at all. I know they make a lot of experimental weird crappy stuff.
Alright, so well, I'm going to go to A, and A
it still tastes like shit.
A did much better with a 4.5. A is Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA.
Wow, have we not tasted this already?
Yes, we have tasted it before. Rebecca had informed me at one point, some time ago, that she intended, over our episodes, reintroduce beers that we've already rated.
When I first tasted it, I flashed back to when we had 60 Minute. I swear to you. And I was like, it was one I couldn't put my finger on because there were so many different things going on. And that happened to me again.
This is an all Dogfish Head episode in that sense. So,
and you heard what I said. I like, because I do like 60 Minute a lot. So
I believe.
Ooh, yeah. I think the difference is now she brings it out, you know, 5-10 minutes before we taste it, before she'd bring it out right at the beginning of the episode. That probably had a lot to do with it for my tasting.
No, because when we last tasted the 60 Minute is when we had your extremely vinegarized kale. And I think, I'm sticking to my guns, that's what really swayed us on that. Because that took all the hot presence out, so it was just like kind of water.
Yeah, maybe.
But at any rate, much to Kyle's chagrin, this has been a Dogfish Head evening. We're going to record some more, so we'll be having some interesting beers hopefully in the next few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around with us when we will give you the next exciting chapter in Kyle's excursion to Chicago.
Chicago Excursions version 2.0.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.